Pretty simple. The angel said go. What did he do? He went. And you might be saying, well, yeah, you know, if an angel told me to go, I would go too. You know, I mean, what's the big deal there? Well, first of all, Philip wasn't sitting on the couch entertaining himself with hours of different electronic, you know, distractions. And I'm not pointing at anybody. I mean, this is what we all do. Amen? He wasn't just vegetating. He wasn't just sitting around saying, well, you know, if God sends me an angel, I think I'll go out and share the gospel. You know, I'm waiting, Lord. I see no angel. Praise God. What was he doing? He was already out there. He was sharing the gospel. He was out in the with the Samaritans, working signs and wonders, and many people were being saved and baptized. He had already gone. The reason God knew he would go when the angel was sent to him was because Philip already had a track record. He was already going. So what does that tell us? If we want to see angels, what do we got to do? We got to go. That's right. We have to have a heart prepared to obey for the sake of the gospel. If our heart is passive, if our heart is just sitting, well, you know, Chris talked yesterday about passive resistance. If our heart is just sitting there and saying, well, you know, I'll go, you know, if God sends me, you know, otherwise, you know, what's on channel 3? 13, I know what's on channel 3. Everything is on channel 3. You've got a VCR. Yeah. Praise God. If we want to see God do miraculous things, how many people here really, in the depths of their heart, want to see God move in miraculous ways? Yeah, man, praise God. I thirst for that. I hunger for that. And I know He can because I've seen Him do it. And if we want to see God do amazing, incredible signs and wonders in our midst, then we need, if we want to see angels, then we need to have a heart that's ready to go. In fact, our heart ought to already be directing us to go. We ought to be like, you know, starting to run to kind of prime the pump so that when God sends it, we can hit the ground, you know, with some momentum. If we've got, for instance, if we wait for folks to ask us, sick folks, if we wait for them to ask us to pray for them, we may not see a whole lot of healings. But if we will simply begin to ask sick folks if we can pray for them, do you hear the difference? One, I can wait, you know, somebody can be over there, you know the look, they're all pale, and you know, you just feel bad just looking at them, man. I mean, they're like, man, they're like death warmed over. If we simply sit there and wait for them to ask us, we may not see a whole lot. But if we have a mind that says, man, who can I pray for today? Man, God, send me some sick people, man, because I'm going to pray for them. I'm not going to sit and wait for them to ask. If we just simply go and say to them, hi, sweetheart, can I pray for you? You look like you've just been throwing up lately. What's that? Okay. I don't know why I thought that, Mark. It just, you know, it just kind of came to my head. Reverse prophecy. You know, I mean, really, I mean, truly, truly, this is not just sermonizing, truly. I mean, if we will, you know, seek God and say, God, who do you want me to pray for today? You know, and don't worry about, you know, whether suddenly, you know, some guy leaps out of his wheelchair and starts dancing in the parking lot of the gas station. Man, just be compassionate. Just start going, start praying for folks. You'd be surprised the number of people in the hospital. You know, you're not on any kind of pressure to perform. Well, if I go pray for the guy in the hospital bed, if he doesn't get healed, what's he going to think? He's going to think you were very gracious and courteous for praying for him. I hear people all the time say, well, if God really miraculously healed people, why don't you see more Christians in the hospital praying for people? The answer is because we're just rebellious. We just, you know, we just don't care. Problem isn't with God working miracles. The problem is that Christians won't, you know, move away from the TV set long enough to get up and go and pray. Amen. Praise God. We traveled how many thousand miles to go pray for those kids in Peru? How many? Something like that. Yeah, it was a long ride. But, you know, we went in the hospitals down in Peru, and I didn't meet one person who said, no, I don't want you praying for me. Don't lay your hands on me. You know, when you saw them suffering in that state, when they were racked with pain and their bodies showed, you know, all kinds of signs of disease and illness and dysfunction, none of those people said, well, thanks, I don't need your prayers. You know, I don't like this stuff, man. Are you kidding? You know, I took some stuff to make me this way. Praise God. People, people welcome that. So, you know, number one, have a heart prepared. Let's go ahead and take the initiative and just start praying for folks. Amen. You know, if we wait for people, and likewise, and I know you'll relate to this, if we wait for people to start asking us, how do I get saved, we ain't going to see a lot of people saved. Amen? When was the last time somebody came up to you and said, how can I get saved? Anybody? Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Your Honor, I rest my case. As if. You know, if we sit around waiting, but you know, I mean, you know, isn't that reality? Isn't that what we do? I'm guilty. I'm guilty with both hands. We say, Lord, I can't wait to share the gospel with somebody. Send me someone who wants to know how to get saved. There's no risk in that. You know, they asked, I'm allowed to do it. Well, no, God said do it. So, yes, you are very much allowed to do it. And if we will step out in faith and start asking people and taking the gospel to them, not to lay any guilt trips, but, you know, if we're open to doing that, I would bet we'd be amazed at how God would give grace to accomplish the task. As Chris was saying, it's not when you're sitting around waiting for it, it's when you go that He gives the grace. Hallelujah. Most people say, man, I want to have power like Moses, man. Moses, man, dude stretched his staff across the water and the Red Sea parted, man. Well, yeah, he was about to be killed by Egyptians. You know, you want to walk on the old saying, you want to walk on water, you got to step out of the boat. Thank you very much. Yeah, I want power like Moses, but I'm not sure I want an army of, you know, pagan Egyptians with swords and spears and arrows bearing down on me wanting to take my head apart. Praise God. So if we don't, rather than wait, if we will by faith step out and take the initiative, we might be amazed at how much grace God gives. God sent Philip the angel because He knew Philip would obey. And after all, where did the angel send him? The desert. Oh yeah, send me there. I am a mighty man of God. I'm going to use to advance His kingdom. Send me to the desert. What, you know... Has anybody ever felt, you know, got a word from the Lord? You felt God was telling you to do something, but it didn't make sense. Anybody? Yeah. You know, you got this conviction, and part of you is going, man, that's from God. The other part of it is going, what in the world? No, you didn't tell me to go do that. What? You know, we say, oh, Lord, send me an angel, and I'll go. Yeah, but what if the angel tells you to go to the desert? You know? Or Chestertown or something. Chestertown? What's in Chestertown, Lord? Not to demean Chestertown at all. You know, just... I don't know, I spent a couple hours there. I didn't, you know... Anyway, that's another story. Praise God. Logically, it doesn't make sense. Doesn't have to make sense. If the Lord says to me, John, go to the desert, and I say, well, Lord, why? I mean, it's hot out there. You know, I mean, can I have some AC? Can I drive in my air-conditioned car if I go? Can you promise me that there'll be a stand with, you know, like Diet Coke or something like that when I get there? Lord, why do you want me to go to the desert? Are you sure you said desert? Did you really mean dessert? John, go to the desert. I'm ready to go to dessert, Lord. But, you know, the desert, I mean, come on, God. You know what that is? That is rebellion. That is not faith. That's rebellion. That is sin. It's questioning the authority of God. And as we learned this weekend, obedience means doing what you're told without what? Without challenges, without delay, and without excuses. That's obedience. So, you want the angel? Be ready to obey. If he sends you to the desert or even, God forbid, Chestertown. Or Denton, you know, really, you want to see him? Yeah, wow, Denton, hey, yeah. Later on, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, told him to do what? Go catch up to the chariot. And what did he do? He ran faster, that's right, he went. God said, go overtake that chariot. And what did he do? He went, he ran. And you're like, okay, so what? Well, remember where he was going? He was going to this man of great authority who had lots of money, who was protected by what? Soldiers. Okay, here you got, all right, here you got the guy, the eunuch, He's in a chariot. Spinner's on his wheels, got lots of money, great authority. He is at risk, you know, he's a high-profile target. He's surrounded by soldiers. He's out in the middle of the desert. And some dude comes running up to him. What do you think is the first thing that's going to happen? They're going to take him out. He's a threat. They're going to kill him. You don't just go running up to the treasurer of Ethiopia in the desert. You're a risk. They're going to be like, who goes there? You know, the sword comes out, the spears come out, and he's going to be surrounded by soldiers. And buddy, what do you want? I don't know. The Holy Spirit told me to come. So yeah, we want the stuff, but are we prepared to obey if he sends us to the desert into maybe some possibly dangerous circumstances? Philip was willing to say yes to God. He said, "Oh Lord, send me, because I'll go. I will go." So number one, I promised to hurry up. That was the longest part. How do we reach these people? Have a heart prepared to obey for the gospel. Number two, be ready and prepared to give an explanation of the gospel. He comes up and this is what it says. He hears this guy reading from the scroll of Isaiah. And in Acts 8:31 it says, the place in Scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. What did he preach to him?
Jesus.
What did he preach to him?
Jesus.
What did he preach to him?
Jesus.
Praise God. He preached Jesus to him. Right out of the Old Testament scriptures. He didn't even have a New Testament. But he was right there in the Old Testament, in the gospel, in the prophet Isaiah, and he began to preach what?
Jesus
to him. That's the message, Jesus Christ. I know I said this 2 weeks ago. That is our message, Jesus Christ and him crucified, as Chris Peeler was saying. The Apostle Paul said, I have determined to know one thing and one thing alone, Jesus Christ and him crucified. And that's where Philip started, right in the Old Testament scriptures. Praise God. Paul said in Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of who?
Christ.
For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. If we want to see the power of God, we must proclaim the one in whom is the power. Amen? We have to proclaim Jesus. That's why I believe we see such a hemorrhage and a loss of power in the churches at large today, because they've gotten so far away from Jesus. They're preaching everything but Jesus. They're preaching philosophy, they're preaching psychology, they're preaching, funny stories and cute anecdotes and all kinds of warm and fuzzy stuff, but they ain't preaching Jesus. And that's why our world is sick and lost and coming apart at the seams. Because that other stuff is not the gospel. There is no power to save in that other stuff. Christ is the one. Jesus is the one who was coming to judge the living and the dead. Jesus is the standard by which they will and you and I will be judged. Jesus is, in fact, the judge who will decide the destiny of every living soul. He is the one on the throne. And even more than that, Jesus is the one who became flesh and blood and took my sin and your sin upon himself and suffered and bled on that cross to pay the price for our salvation. He is the one who rose from the dead, conquered sin and death, and he is the one, he is the only one who will save utterly anyone and everyone who calls upon his name in faith and repentance. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to salvation.